Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
All right, welcome everybody. Here District, I'm the captain of this vessel on this fantastic but somewhat uneven voyage of the Milwaukee Bucks this season. My first mate, Chris Johnson, the only father and son duo in the history of college basketball to win a national championship at the same school, UCLA. Go Bruins. We are privileged, proud, excited to be joined by Jim Ozarski. Jim is a Milwaukee Bucks. Do they still say beat reporter? Is
that they do?
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Knows everything Bucks. And first of all, welcome to Here District. We thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. You're our go-to guy, man. Ever, you know, when we need some insight, because you are right on top of this team, the pulse of everything Bucks. And it's been such an uneven season, like such a crazy season, Jim. Just your summary up to this point about the Bucks season so far.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in terms of the uneven voyage to date. And unfortunately, it's not totally uneven in that it's taken on water at 11 and 16. You know, they're five games under 500. So
get the buckets. Okay,
no, right? You know, obviously, Giannis, I think, now has either missed or been compromised in half of the team's games at this point, which is no small thing.
Yeah.
Kevin Porter Jr.'s in the same boat, right, with him missing, 16, 19 games, something like that, to start the year. So on one hand, you can understand, you know, few teams are built to be down your starting point guard, let alone the top one, two players in the league. But we've seen the effects of that, right, Marcus? Like, it's, and Chris, they're not a good team right now. Just to be at 11 and 16, the facts are the facts.
Right.
You know, you're number 10 in the East and a couple games in the play-in as opposed to into the playoffs or even talking about home court. So, it's been an uneven start. And what I'm just kind of worried about, I guess, if you're a Bucks fan, is when is it no longer a start and when is it?
Yeah.
Right? And because now at 30% into the season.
And that's the thing. They say that, you know, about this stage, you can, you know, get rid of some of the noise and you can look at the stats for what they are. But to your point, with no Giannis, Kevin Porter Jr., my question to you, and I thought you did a masterful job in the most recent press conference with Doc Rivers. You asked a question, Jim, about Ryan Rollins and how he was initially slated to come off the bench. And the tone of the question seemed to indicate that you were wondering if Doc was ready to make some kind of a move. You know, was that kind of the direction you were going in that? And then what do you think about that move if it were to happen?
Look, Ryan has been an amazing story. He's been a revelation.
Yeah.
Even if the team obviously saw something in him to give him a multi-year deal to start, then to become the primary ball handler, then to become a primary facilitator and scorer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like lived like three lifetimes in 20-something games. And now that Kevin Porter's back, Ryan Rollins is starting. He earned that opportunity, Marcus, but it's a little bit of a struggle. It's a funky fit. And it's fair to say, like, him and Kevin are similar-ish players in a way. And they weren't going to start together at the start of the year. It was A.J. Green, Gary Trent, and Kevin Porter.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the question was like, okay, well, if they're both trying to find their way, who does what and when and where, spacing-wise, maybe they'd be better served to have Ryan come off and lead that second unit again. That's not a knock on anybody.
Sure, no.
It's really more just how does this team get more consistency through 48 minutes, and could that help? And you know, Doc didn't seem ready to go there quite yet, and say, hey, we don't have Giannis and we're no A.J. Green, so we need kind of offense and shot creation. So I understand that too, but that's where I was going with that was, you know, how do you kind of help the guy a little bit? Because he is kind of going through it to figure out what is he supposed to be doing and when.
Yeah, well, as of this taping,
yeah,
his previous five games, I think he's like 7 for 24 from the 3-point line. And here's a young man that was shooting as high as mid-40s at one point when everybody was talking about Ryan as a most improved player candidate. You know, he's kind of, there's been some regression there. And I think a lot of that has to do with Kevin Porter Jr.'s emergence in ball. Yeah. I won't say dominance, but he's doing a lot of the things that Ryan was doing when Ryan was flourishing. And so there's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a, some figuring out to do, right, Chris, in terms of two guys that play similar roles.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you say, Ryan does the stuff that KPJ does. Ryan doesn't necessarily have the skill set of an AJ Green or somebody that can slide in and fit in seamlessly with a catch and shoot, you know, type of gravity. And so he's trying to figure that out. But for me, guys, it's like we see Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with this team. You can beat the Pistons, you can beat the Celtics, you can beat the Knicks, but then you lose to the Wizards, the Nets, and the Hornets. And Jim O, my question for you, like, what explains that? Like, we've seen the Bucks beat the class of the Eastern Conference, and we've seen them lose to the worst of the East. What do you think is going on with that type of stuff?
Yeah, it is the question, right? And no one really has an answer. I mean, you both have lived it on the basketball court at such a high level. My experience would be on the golf course, where I know what the shot I want to hit, what I'm supposed to do, and in that 1.2 seconds of a swing, I don't do it. And then if someone like me were to like ask me afterward, why didn't you do the thing you know you're supposed to do? I would just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, whether it be the pressure, whether it be I lost focus, or maybe a gust of wind or that uncontrollable. Like, I wouldn't be able to answer that. And so I am sympathetic to these guys at times being like, I know I'm not supposed to turn the ball over. I know I'm supposed to get off it and move. I know I'm supposed to get a paint touch and kick it. Mm. You guys live this. Yeah. Like, in the moment, though, I can understand in that split second why that doesn't. And I don't know. I mean, Giannis, for all these years, right, it was a cliche, but it was true, right? Building the good habits.
Right.
And maybe this is a function of not playing together. Maybe this is a function of injury. Maybe this is a function of guys saying they know they can't replace Giannis by themselves. But yet, how do you not feel, man, I just got to the paint. There it is. Yeah. And you don't do this. You do this instead, right? And it goes off the rim, and now you're going the other way. It's Chris, you're right. It's a tough, tough thing because you see how good they can be. And then it just doesn't, like, last. There's no consistency.
Well, in terms of golf, I got tickled because, and it never fails with me, Jim, whenever I feel good, this is my day, I'm getting ready to shoot low 80s. You know, I have a tough time breaking 100.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling funky, like, oh, boy, I don't know why I'm out here today. I know I'm going to be all. Then I shoot 84, 85, which is great for me.
Yeah.
You know, so, and this is with this team. It's, you know, you play against the Celtics. I'm thinking about that game. I'm like, well, this could get ugly really quickly. The way the Celtics are playing, they're 10-2. They're 130 points per 100 possessions over their last 12 games. Jaylen Brown's average. This is going to be, and then the Bucks come out and play like just the best basketball of their lives.
Right.
We go to Brooklyn after a Saturday night in Manhattan. Let's not forget about that. After a Saturday night in Manhattan, we play Brooklyn on a Sunday, and I'm expecting this just to be a great kind of coming out game for the Bucks to really come out. And it was Brooklyn, man. And to add insult to injury, in that game, it wasn't like Michael Porter Jr., who'd been averaging 35 a game for the month of December, just killed us. We held him in check. But it was these other dudes, man, that came out. So I don't know. So when that happens, how much of it, let me just cut to the chase. With everything that's going on with noise and everything else, do you think that plays into these guys in terms of a distraction at all at this stage of the season, or is it minimal?
Well, I think once the game starts, I don't think you're thinking about that per se, right? Like you're going, and I think when you're going through film with the coaches and the game plan, I don't think that's part of it because he's not available. Like this is not a, is he going to play or not? Or where is his head at? Like he's not available to play. So, but you never know. Look, these guys are all human. They're they're way online. I mean, you're talking about guys who are from 23 to 29 years old. They're online. They see this stuff.
Right.
How does that seep in? Look, these guys have said it, you know, in the times they've been asked, like, we speak to him. He tells us this. This is what we need to know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, we all see it. It affects us to a degree, right? We're talking about it. We wonder about it. That's their livelihood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and let's be real. They're all pretty honest of he's the reason all this works or can work, or the reason guys are going to get paid. It's because if that guy's there in the quiet moments or here or there, maybe they think about it. But I think in games, Marcus, it's more of a how locked in are you? And you know, I don't know. Again, we're going back to it. I don't know the answer. Like, this team hasn't shown it's good enough to just roll the ball out and win.
Right.
Right.
They need to do the thing every night, and still trying to find that switch or that whatever it is to get them to do it.
Jim, I think I thought that your article, that your column, you did a really good job of laying out sort of, for those of us that can read between the lines, laying out the mentality that's going on in that locker room. Something that Doc Rivers said, you're not going to create an identity without your best player. Like, that makes sense. Like, we get that totally 100%. But that mentality, to me, it absolves the other guys, the rotation guys, everybody else from any type of responsibility, culpability. You heard Miles Turner talk about, you know, referencing Andre Jackson and needing hungry guys. And like, when you're 30th in the league in offensive rebounding, 29th and getting to the line, like, you're ranking last in several sort of hustle effort type of mentality categories. What, like, I want to get to the bottom of what do you think is there an underlying issue there?
I think it's a fair question to ask when you are just looking at the raw results, right? Sometimes you can make a number look good, you know, and make stats look how you want, but it's kind of hard to do that when you're last.
Yeah.
Right? When things aren't, there's just no way around some of that stuff. And look, I to your point of having an identity without your best player, like, Doc did push back on that idea, as you said, but then after the Brooklyn game, acknowledged, well, I don't know if guys know who we are or who they are. Yeah. And to your point of being a hard-playing team, that was what we heard coming out of the practices leading into Boston. And just as a reference point, guys, like, the first preseason game Giannis played in Chicago, after the game, he said, paraphrasing, this team has to be a team with elite spacing and try hard every night, all the time. Mm. Team wins. He said, if we do that, we will be dangerous. If we do not, we won't be good.
Yeah.
This was October. This is a quote. It's in jsonline.com. He said it, and we are seeing it. And so the thing, what I don't, I guess, understand is, I know Giannis is the head of the snake. And remember, guys, he had that whole good teams don't lose two in a row mantra.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is kind of funny, because even the 60-win team, I think, lost three in a row at one point. But I think what he was doing was trying to instill that try hard every night aspect. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's not going to happen, you know, schedule losses, things of that nature. But since he's been gone, who's picked up that mantle?
Yeah.
We haven't seen it yet. And I don't, it's maybe a compliment to Jan. I don't know if it's a compliment or detriment to players or coaches or whatever. But I think, Chris, to your point of what's missing, like, that clearly is missing. Yeah. And I don't know how or why that gets lost when he's out, because that's just who they should be anyway. Like, that's clearly how this team was built.
Right. Yeah. And so my old coach, John Wooden, used to love to say that activity doesn't always equal achievement. When I think about that Brooklyn Nets game, you know, I've changed that around to unfocused activity leads to calamity. And that's what happened. You know, and so, I mean, they came out and it looked like they were trying to do some things, but the communication, two guys running to the ball, the slip guy, I forgot who it was on one, but maybe my Michael Porter Jr. gets inside for an easy shot. Claxton, I remember, gets it in the key and gives Kyle a bit of a bump, and nobody picks him up. He gets an uncontested. It was just like the unfocus. And Kevin Porter Jr., I think, talked about it in terms of how they went into that game. Just your thoughts on that in terms of this team and focus and where does the responsibility lie? I mean, the coaching staff, the veterans, the players themselves as a collective, where do you see the responsibility lying in a situation like that?
Yeah, I think, look, when you're 11-16 and you have losses like that, I think it's a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Where Doc, I'll give him this, you know, he'll sit up there and say, it's on me. Like, clearly I didn't get them ready to do this today. Now, I don't know what that means behind the scenes. I don't know what he's thinking when he says that.
Yeah.
Kevin mentioned after the game he wasn't prepared.
Yeah,
mentally.
That was the word he used.
You know,
prepared.
You know, Doc said afterward, "Hey, we don't think that's a game plan thing. We think that was a Kevin individual, like was he mentally locked in thing." Look, Kyle said this after the Celtics game. If we lose the Brooklyn, this Boston thing doesn't matter. So they said all the right things. They kind of knew the right things. So I think it's got to be a little bit of everybody, because even if the players maybe think they you know, the game planning or whatever was lax, but that they can control their effort. And maybe if the coaches feel like the game planning was great, or maybe they missed something on a scout on a couple of these Nets guys, maybe this new coach, you know, the assistant took over for Jordy Hetzel, was doing some different stuff. You know, you're still responsible for changing and maybe doing substitution patterns or doing some different things. So, and this is not just one game with the Brooklyn. I think this is kind of all of those dips where you mentioned all the great wins, but you lose to Washington, to Sacramento, to Charlotte. The Bulls was a good win at the time, but you've lost to these teams. Yeah. You know, and again, I think everyone's still searching for the why and the how.
Which is so crazy, because last year, I mean, one of the recurring comments about this team is that we couldn't beat Cleveland, we couldn't beat the Boston, we couldn't beat the, you know.
It was the top end. Just
mind-boggling how we could not, you know, break through with the top four, but now it's tough for us to handle the bottom four, you know, which is what's so. So I guess that would lead to a lot of what's going on. But in terms of, let's take individual players. So Miles Turner. Your thoughts on his season so far? You know, against Boston, he didn't put up great numbers, but I think he was like a plus 26 or something or other, and contributed in other ways. But how do you think Miles has been so far for the Bucks?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he's a great, you know, I don't want to say example, but, you know, when you look at the ups and downs of the season, look, I remember I was on with you guys after he was signed, and I believe it's like, look, he might be in the All-Star conversation because guys who play with Giannis, there's always someone, right? And I guess early on it turned into Ryan Rollins, right, as that kind of that stat production. But Miles, I've seen, you know, when they beat Chicago and nearly beat Miami, he looked great. It wasn't just the points, but it was how he scored, the way he was used. I would say early in the season when Giannis was available, the way he moved off the ball, the way he screened and got guys maybe outside the initial, you know, off the ball actions, got them going, right? You see that idea of the Pacers, you know, second side type stuff. Okay, maybe it's not a point, maybe it's not an assist, but he helped create that shot, right?
Absolutely.
When they lose, I feel like he's sort of lost in a way. I mean, he's a guy who's talked about needing role clarity. You know, he's a guy who's talked about different, you know, hey, maybe I need to dive a little bit more, not always flare out. And maybe, you know, I need some paint touches or some post-ups. I can be a 2 to 3 level scorer type of guy. So I don't know. I feel like we've seen some really good, and then we've seen times where's the impact? He's never been a great rebounder. I think he averages like 6 a game. He's about that. So I don't think like that is an issue. I mean, obviously the Bucks without Giannis could use a little more, but I don't know, Marcus. I feel like I think, and it's one of the reasons I asked Doc this, like if they should run some stuff through him or use him more when they're trying to score points. But it feels like they're not ready to do that, or they don't think that's what's best for them. So I don't know, guys. I feel like Miles is a good example, of the ups and downs of the season, where he's looked good, but then at times it's where does he fit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Miles, career low in field goal percentage, points per game, to your point, Jim, about running the offense in places or areas to put Miles in a better position to succeed, to get easier looks. I mean, I think that would be something that might spark him and help his rebounding numbers and help his defensive numbers if he can sort of establish a semblance of an offensive rhythm that looked like the Miles Turner that we've all kind of grown to know with Indiana. Because he's far from that right now, and I think that's a big reason why the Bucks are 11-16 or whatever they are currently.
All right, so Jim, looking at the roster, which players do you feel like have really stepped up. You know, and obviously we would have said Ryan Rollins at the start, and can still say Ryan Rollins, mm-hmm. but you know, including Ryan, which guys do you think have really shown some progress in terms of their development?
Yeah, I mean, AJ Green, he's always been a confident guy. You guys, I think, can appreciate this. I don't know, can you have more confidence? I feel like it was so clear early, Marcus and Chris, that AJ's, you know, level of self-belief or whatever just went through the roof to start this season. He did say, like, knowing his role, knowing he was going to get certain minutes, it wasn't so much the starting, it was just how much he was going to play has been helpful. But his ability to just put it up, the old let it fly at it, right? I think, and then obviously I think defensively, he was getting a kind of a bad whistle to start the year, but he kind of stuck with it. You don't see the two fouls in 4 minutes anymore, when I would argue he's probably doing some of the same things. Yeah. Maybe he's a little better, doesn't reach as much. I like that. You know, look, Kevin is interesting, guys, because I think when you look at the raw numbers since he's been back, he was like 50, 40, 90, close.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Obviously, the Brooklyn game was a downer, but I think you've seen why the Bucks wanted to bring him back, why they feel he's a good fit offensively as a shot creator. Obviously, defensively, this team has really struggled, so I think it's kind of hard to say, yeah, some defense has been good here with these guys. Ryan, of course, is really stepped up. You know, and those are really the young guys that were put in new roles. Like, I think, you know, Gary's kind of had an up and down season, but he's also been in and out, up and down in the lineup and roles. So I would say those guys, those three stand out, that those three backcourt guys for sure.
Kuzma, how do you rate his you so far?
Yeah, he has benefited. We mentioned role clarity in general. I think he has benefited from, okay, at the start of the year, it was I'm Giannis's sub. I'm going to come in the second unit and try to do that stuff to the degree that he can. The Boston game, I think, was a great example of going back to that, right? Like 13 of the shots were in the paint. You know, when he mentioned, you know, Doc calls it putting your fingertips on the glass, when Kyle has been strong to the rim instead of maybe trying to absorb contact and kind of a different shot angle.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't want to say trying to draw a foul, but when he's strong there, he's really good.
Yeah.
You know, the assist numbers aren't going to be crazy, but again, we're talking about that. You get in there and that kick out is important. So I do think Marcus, when he's been in those spots, he's looked good. That was that stretch where he started for a bit next to Giannis as a three. I think that showed again, like last year, that's a funky fit. So I do think Kyle has played well. And we mentioned defense. Of course, there was the one effort against Karl Anthony Towns in the Knicks early in the year on the sprained ankle. You know, so those individual defensive moments you've seen from guys as well.
Heading into the end of the month, so the Bucks, you know, Bobby Portis has talked about getting back to 500. He's mentioned that a couple of times. And Bobby, one of the inspirational, motivational leaders of this team and practices, you know, like, I'm not going to speak too much about what I've seen, but they've been really spirited, and a lot of, you know, a lot of guys calling each other out. So that's a good sign. The Bucks, in terms of, and I know it's such a hard thing to predict, but this is a great opportunity.
Yeah,
the going into the new year. I mean, we got the Grizzlies and the Pacers and the Hornets and just the Wizards, just a bunch of teams that the Bucks have struggled with.
Right.
So do you look at this as kind of a, you know, rubber meets the road moment for this team going into the new year, playing against teams that on paper they should have beaten before and should be coming up, but have, you know, for whatever reason have not? I mean, how do you view this little stretch of the season coming into the new year?
No, I agree, guys. Like, that's – look, if you're first of all, getting to 500 has got to be the first thing. You can't talk about playoffs or seeding unless you're a 500 team, right? Because even if you're not, you're in the play-in and doing that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that's the first step. And it's a while ways to go. As we record this, it's five games they've got to make up. Now, to your point, those games are all on the road. You know, it's a funky road trip. I'm imagining come to Milwaukee for the holiday.
Right. Leave on Christmas Day to go to Memphis, I believe.
Yeah, yes. There's a back-to-back in there. But those are teams, this Bucks team, without Giannis, in my opinion, should win.
Yeah.
I've seen them play at a level where, without Giannis, Warriors, Celtics, Pistons, where they've won. Like, of course they should beat the Wizards and the Pacers, right? I guess the thing is, guys, is they can't think that or believe
can't take it for granted.
No, you can't, because look, you also can't wait for Giannis to come out of the phone booth in the new year and say, okay, well, we're 11-22 or 23, but
get on my back, boys.
Right? Like, that's not, like, look, even if he's 100% healthy on January 2nd, whenever that first game is, the odds are he's probably going to miss a few more games, right? And so, like, it's just, they can't wait. So it's a pressure point, Marcus, of games you should win. They're spaced out enough, right? They're not like 6-9 and 5-7, even with the back-to-back. But it's on the road, and this team has not been a good road team in a couple years.
Yeah, well, we shall see as this fantastically uneven voyage of the Milwaukee Bucks continue, and you do a great job covering them, Jim O, and we'll look to have you back and kind of see where we are maybe in a few weeks down the road. Yeah. So thanks, man, for coming by.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.